Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, June the 14th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Hundreds of companies urged Trump to resolve the tariff dispute with China. Also on our Friday rundown, California moves closer to universal health coverage, plus some new Gulf restoration projects post the Deepwater Horizon spill. First, our top story, Walmart, Target, and more than 600 other companies are urging President Trump to resolve the trade dispute with China. That for Reuters. They report the message was sent Thursday in a letter saying the tariffs hurt American business and consumers. Reuters adds it's the latest of many sent at the Trump administration by Tariffs Hurt the Heartland, a national campaign against the tariffs supported by more than 150 trade groups representing agriculture, manufacturing, retail, and tech industries. California's new $214 billion budget passed by the state Senate there Thursday moves the Golden State closer to universal health coverage. Here's Suzanne Potter.
The plan, which is expected to be signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, puts almost $1.5 billion over 3 years towards subsidies to lower the premiums for people who buy health insurance through the Covered California Exchange. Anthony Wright with the nonprofit Health Access says the aid is tailored to low- and middle-income people who make between $17,000 and $72,000 a year.
About 1 million Californians might get some help to better defray the cost of health care. Of those, about 300,000 get enough help that they may be newly covered from previously being uninsured.
State lawmakers propose to pay for the expansion with a state-level mandate that everyone carry health insurance or pay a fine. The budget also sets aside $100 million to allow low-income undocumented immigrants ages 19 to 25 to sign up for Medi-Cal. Critics of the budget say the extra spending is unwise and complain that it was made possible by a new gas tax of 5 cents a gallon, a policy they opposed.
That budget would also end the so-called senior penalty in Medi-Cal by changing the income limits to make about 27,000 additional lower-income seniors and people with disabilities eligible for the program. Labor leaders are urging the New York State Senate to take action on a bill they say will help ensure that all drivers in the Empire State are trained, licensed, and insured.
On Wednesday, the State Assembly passed Greenlight New York, a bill to allow all state residents to get driver's licenses regardless of immigration status. According to Allison Hirsch, vice president of the Service Employees International Union Local 32BJ, the bill would benefit the entire state by giving thousands of people in New York the ability to get and keep jobs and provide for their families.
It's an opportunity to actually have government do what it's supposed to be doing, which is simultaneously providing access to work, higher quality of life for residents of our state, and keeping our streets safer.
Opponents of the measure say it would require a big increase in staffing at Department of Motor Vehicles offices and that immigrants should pursue legal status. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
According to the Fiscal Policy Institute, that bill would make 265,000 people in New York eligible for licenses and generate $57 million in revenue for the state. The Rocky Mountain Stream Restoration Conference moves to Estes Park next week, bringing watershed experts and engineers to Colorado.
Rush Schumacher, Colorado State University's climatologist, says it's an opportunity for policymakers to look at a host of challenges facing the Intermountain West, such as extreme weather events like the Big Thompson and 2013 floods in Lyons and Boulder. Schumacher says mitigating flash floods is especially important along the Front Range, where moisture from the Gulf of Mexico pours down through steep canyons.
Clearly, extreme precipitation and flooding has always happened, but there's also kind of growing evidence that the warming climate and more moisture in the atmosphere is leading to more extreme precipitation.
He says hotter and more destructive wildfires also need to be addressed. Burn scars don't absorb water, so heavy rains can send crippling debris flows into streams, affecting fish habitat and drinking water. He adds, while population growth and development in floodplains have put structures and people at risk, cities and counties can restore flows in ways that limit flood damage and even capture water for drier days. I'm Eric Galatis.
And finally, our Mark Richardson reports almost a decade after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill, government agencies are still spending millions of dollars to restore the Gulf of Mexico.
The Open Ocean Trustee Implementation Group is planning to spend about $130 million over the next 7 years to study, restore, and manage deep-sea habitat, including coral communities in the Gulf. Sandra Brook, a deep-sea coral scientist with Florida State University, says the project aims to restore damaged habitat for fish, sea turtles, and other inhabitants of the ocean's middle and lower depths.
We're trying to identify areas that are not in conflict with any existing fishery, but are extremely valuable in terms of conservation, so that those areas will be protected. So if and when whichever fishery it is starts moving into the deep sea, at least we have those valuable areas protected.
Both restoration projects are funded through a $20 billion settlement fund with BP, the oil company that owned the Deepwater Horizon rig. Comments for the Deep Sea Habitat Restoration Project can be made by letter or online with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.